Hi, I'm Daniel Lenzian, host of Western New York Soundstage from Buffalo Rising and Local Matters Studios. Western New York Soundstage is a podcast that looks to explore Western New York's creative economy through a series of conversations with artists, musicians, producers, directors, and authors from Western New York and beyond. On today's episode, I speak to Mandy Gonzalez. Mandy is an actress and singer whose Broadway credits include Aida, Lennon, Dance of the Vampires, Wicked, Hamilton, and originating the role of Nina in In the Heights. You may know her from her TV appearances in Madam Secretary, Only Murders in the Building, or Alice's Wonderland Bakery, among many others. Mandy is also a recording artist and motivational speaker, advocating for diversity and representation in the arts. Mandy is currently appearing in Broadway's new production of Sunset Boulevard and will be performing with the Buffalo Philharmonic Orchestra at Klein Hans Music Hall on Saturday, September 21st, 2024 at 7:30 p.m. Tickets are available at bpo.org. In this interview, Mandy and I speak about her early inspirations and how they appear on the program at the BPO, making material her own and singing backup for Bette Midler. I hope you enjoy my interview with Mandy. Mandy Gonzalez, thank you so much for agreeing to chat with me tonight. How are you?
I'm great. How are you? I'm so thrilled to be here with you.
Oh, wonderful. Thank you very much. So I have to ask or just acknowledge that you are currently in rehearsals for Sunset Boulevard. How is it going?
I am. It's so exciting. You know, this has, Norma Desmond has definitely been a dream role of mine. I guess most of my life. And so I've sung these songs, Andrew Lloyd Webber. It's one of my favorite, absolute favorite scores. And it's just so exciting. Jamie Lloyd's production, his direction is, it's going to take Broadway by storm. And just, I can't wait for everybody to see it.
Fantastic. I'm so interested to know, how is your Norma or just the Norma in this particular production different than other portrayals?
Well, I think it's such a classic and timeless story. You know, I don't know about you, but I definitely know the movie with Gloria Swanson and William Holden and then knowing the musical, you know, sung by some of the best. You know, we had Glenn Close, Patti LuPone, Betty Buckley, Rita Moreno did it. And just being on that roster with those legends is incredible. And I think people are going to, when they come, they're going to see actually how timeless this story is and how totally relatable it is to what happens in our society when a woman that is so looked at and so admired as she starts to the aging process. I mean, things happen with Norma that don't happen with everyone, but that rejection from society and what that does to someone, I think that we all can see that, especially now with social media and getting to know our celebrities up close and personal as we, you know, think we do.
Well, no, thank you. And I hope that our Buffalo listeners will definitely get down to New York. It's just a quick JetBlue plane ride. So please go see Mandy in Sunset Boulevard.
Yes, yes.
That is what you're doing now. I'd love to kind of go back and just ask. I always love to ask this because I think it's so informative. Is there a story from your childhood that connects to what you do now?
Oh, absolutely. I think from my childhood, looking at myself now, this is exactly where I wanted to be. It didn't exactly happen in the exact way that I thought it would happen, but it goes back to when I was 8 years old and singing for my grandma, who was like, oh, Mandy can sing and Mandy has talent and let's put her into lessons, and finding those lessons for me and finding those outlets for me to perform and listening with her to cast albums, to records. I don't know how many people remember those, but that was my way into this world, and listening to a song from Gypsy by Ethel Merman and getting to sing that song. It's thrilling. So I think myself looking at my life, it's definitely been so worth all of the sacrifice and all of it, all of the sweat and tears. This has been, I've been very blessed in this life.
That's fantastic. Yes, I think the set list is up for the BPO show, and it really is so varied. I have to ask about your performance experience. You were a backup singer for Bette Midler. What was that experience like? What did you take from it?
Oh my gosh, everything, Daniel. I mean, I was 19 years old, and I was at college at CalArts in California. That's where I'm from. And I got a call from somebody that Bette Midler was looking for new harlettes, and there was going to be an open call. And for those of you that don't know, an open call means that you just go and stand in line, and you have your chance to sing your 32 bars of a song, and which is like 30 seconds. And I did, and I kept getting called back. I was called back to dance. And then all of a sudden I was at the final callbacks, and Bette Midler walks into the room to watch all of us. And I just I'll never forget it, because I was such a incredible like fan of hers. I loved her so much, not just her acting and her movies, but her music. And, you know, to think that here I am singing for this incredible person. It was so exciting. And then I got the job and I left college, and not that I recommend that for everybody, but this was my journey. And I went on the road with Bette Midler. I toured in a bus, and I played stadiums all around the country and around Canada. And she couldn't have been a better teacher. I mean, she watching her every night was a masterclass. You know, in every city that we went to, I remember she would get all the papers in that city, and then she would, she and her writers would create a whole monologue for each different city, and she would memorize that and have it ready to go. And just, she did it so naturally and effortlessly. And, you know, the way that she commanded an audience, I used to have this place at the end, because she would sing The Rose on stage just by herself, you know, in her sparkly dress. And I used to have there was an opening in the curtain, and I used to watch her as I was singing my backup parts backstage. And I was just like, oh, that's where I want to be. I want to be there. I want to be in that place.
Oh my gosh, what an education that is.
Oh yeah.
Jeez, every night, yeah. Just like right there.
Yeah.
Wow. Well, you originated the role of Nina in Into the Heights, both mm-hmm. on Broadway and off Broadway. What was it like to originate a role, or that role specifically?
Oh my gosh. That role was so exciting, because I started with that show at the beginning of their journey in New York. So I remember getting a call. I was in another show called Lennon on Broadway, which didn't last very long, at the Broadhurst Theater. And I got a call, as you know, that show was kind of wrapping up, that there was a new writer in town, a new team, and they were doing this new show, and it was going to be all Latinos, and the writer was Latino, and would I want to go meet him in the basement of the Drama Bookshop? And I was like, I knew where the Drama Bookshop was, but I didn't know there was a basement. That's never where I've done an audition, but there was just something about the project that seemed so interesting to me that I said yes. And when I walked into the basement of the Drama Bookshop, I met Lin-Manuel Miranda, Tommy Cale. I had known Alex Lacmoire because I did something with Wicked before, and Kiara, Alegria Hudes, Bill Sherman. I met the people that I consider now my family out here. So that absolutely changed my life. And from there, they asked me to do the part of Nina. And we did it in a reading with just, we would sit at a table and then we would read the script. And the first day, we all sat at the table. And I remember, usually you just read through the script. You don't know any of the music. And so I remember Lin saying, well, I know you guys don't know any of the songs, so I'm just going to sing everything. And he started, and it was like, he just pointed at Alex Lacmoire, and Alex started on the keys, and he was like, lights up on Washington Heights, up at the break of day. And I was like, Lord, I was like, this guy, like, who is this? He's amazing. And he just had this absolute light around him. And it is not surprising to me that he has, just become a part of so many people's lives in this world and has made such an impact, because he just has that. He's exactly that same person that I met so long ago, you know, and to be a part of that for so long, you know, to go from a reading to a workshop to off Broadway to Broadway, and it was an absolute dream. And we didn't know if people would like it, but we liked it and we loved it. And we believed in it. And so we had this sign in our dressing room. We all shared a dressing room, all 11 women shared a dressing room, and the 11 men off Broadway. And we made a sign that said, "We're going to Broadway." And we'd have to touch the sign before we went on stage every night. And I don't know if it's a sign or what happened, but it definitely worked.
Right. Well, and has definitely had a life beyond that with so many regional productions, and now some
Absolutely.
High schools are able to do it. It's incredible. I'd love to ask you, what is it like to see other people play Nina now?
Oh, it's wonderful. It's so special. You know, I remember coming out to Buffalo. I was invited by Dina Slauson. She owns the Academy of Theater Arts in Buffalo. And it was the first time I met her, and it was another way of, "Will you come? And my students are doing In the Heights, and I'd love you to see it." And it was like, "Yeah, okay, I'll come and see it." And they blew me away, and their love of the work. I mean, when you love something so much, and then you see other people love it just as much, and they are creating their own communities after doing that show, it means so much to me. And for people to wait outside of the stage door and say, "Oh my gosh, Nina Rosario, that helped me get through college," or "That helped me get through a really hard time, that song Breathe," it means everything to me. Or, "I'm first generation too, you know, in this country, but my family's from here. But Nina's story really resonated with me, and it's your voice that I hear when I think about it." It's like you dream of doing parts like that.
In addition to In the Heights, your resume lists some of the biggest Broadway juggernaut shows, including Aida, Wicked, In the Heights. I have to say it, Dance of the Vampires, because I saw it.
Oh my gosh, you did?
Hamilton, I did, yes.
Oh my gosh, you must have been a baby.
I was blessed. You too. No, I saw it and I thought, oh my gosh, this music, some of the music in it was insanely incredible. Angels
Are totally.
Still 20 years later or whatever. You know, not to date it, really gives me chills.
Look at you, Daniel. All right.
Thank you. Yeah.
Thank you.
You've sung some of the biggest sings, including My Strongest Suit, Defying Gravity, Satisfied. How do you step into these shows and make these shows and this work your own?
Well, I think I've been so lucky. I'll say that a lot throughout this interview, because that's truly how I feel. And I think I've been really lucky to work with some creative teams that have been so generous. When I first go into a show, first of all, when you go into a show like Hamilton or Wicked, and you are replacing or in a role that people love, it's such a gift, because you know the shows, people love it. You don't have to worry. Are people going to like it? I don't know. Do people like this character? I don't know. They come in wanting to love it, because they've listened to the cast album, they know the songs. And so I think it's really wonderful when a creative team allows me to bring what I bring to a show, which is my heart, my absolute heart, and my work ethic. And I think I've been very lucky to work with some of the best directors in the business that allow me to do that and to create. And that's such a big part of what I absolutely love to do, is to create characters and make them my own. And it happens through a lot of hard work. I know you know that, creating your own. But there's just nothing more rewarding of watching somebody or have somebody tell you that this really moved me, because it made me feel about this part of my life or that part of my life. And I'm still, you know, I still feel like I'm always learning every show that I'm doing. I'm always starting at the very beginning, even at Sunset Boulevard and with Norma Desmond. It's been such an incredible ride so far to be able to get into that character and really learn about her and all of these things that she is.
Well, speaking of those sort of big sings, are we going to hear any of these songs at the concert with the Buffalo Philharmonic Orchestra?
Absolutely. You're going to hear, there's definitely going to be some Defying Gravity. You are going to hear all the big hits. I always call it the trifecta of Elphaba, Angelica, and gosh, who else is there? Elphaba, Angelica, and Nina. Sorry, my brain. But yeah, you're gonna hear those big sings. And if you've been listening to those cast albums, I hope that this show moves you and you can share it. You know, what I love about concert is that the people that come it's so multi-generational. And so it's their grandmother that shared it with their mother that shared it with their kid. And they all come together, which is so beautiful. And they can have that moment as a family. So I can't wait to see people's faces when some of those songs are sung and how they hold hands and they look at each other like, remember when we first heard this? It's so special.
That is so beautiful. How was the program put together?
I put the program together with Gonzalo Farias and with my musical director, Dan Lipton. So I have been performing all over the country with different symphonies. And these are really the songs that I feel at this time represent me the best. And I have the most fun with, you know, starting with the song, like Everything's Coming Up Roses. Like I said, when I was 8 years old, I would sing that song and I sang it exactly like Ethel Merman. You know, I had a dream, you know, I had the big vibrato because I didn't know. I just wanted to do it, you know, to singing a song like Que Sera Sera is a song I sang with my grandmother when I listened to Doris Day. But I do it in my way because I also listen to a lot of other contemporary music. And so I put my own spin on it. But to sing those songs and to take you on the journey of my life is very exciting.
That's really, really beautiful. And I can feel it as you can say it. And I really hope that our listeners will come and check it out because it sounds like an incredible program. I've been lucky enough to sort of interview a lot of people who kind of either work with the Buffalo Philharmonic Orchestra or they sort of are directly performing with them. And I think it's a really, really special organization. I'd love to ask, what's exciting about performing with a live orchestra?
There's nothing like it, you know? I don't know, you know, with Broadway shows, I mean, it's so wonderful, live music and the orchestras that used to be, you know, on those cast albums were so big and so full, but now it's not the case. And to hear some of these songs done in the way that they were originally intended to be done with a full orchestra, there's just nothing like it. They're the next piece. Without that music, it's like, honestly, I don't know where we all would be. It's another character. It's another piece that helps you move within the music. And as an audience member, it helps you just, have that full experience. There's nothing like live music. And I'm excited that Academy of Theater Arts is going to be joining me on a few songs. And I called Dina Slauson and I said, hey, do you think you guys can come and sing with me? And she was just, yes, yes. And so I'm excited to be there, but also to give back because I know what that would have felt like for me as a student to sing with somebody that that I listened to on a cast album to feel like, oh, that person's real. And wow, they can do this. It's like me watching Bette Midler from, you know, from the curtain, giving somebody else that chance, it can be life-changing. It doesn't mean that they're going to do exactly what I do, but it means that, wow, a life in the arts is possible. It doesn't always look like this, but it can look like this, or it could look like this, or this, you know? And to open that up to a young person means everything to me.
That's really beautiful. Thank you. It's kind of answering my next question, but I'd still like to ask
you
about the college. I'm sure I hope my students will listen to this and come and see the show. I'd love to ask, if there was a young Mandy Gonzalez listening to this, what advice might you offer her?
Oh my goodness. So my mom, when I was moving from California to New York with the big dream, I had no agent. This was after the Bette Midler tour. I saved all my money from that tour and I moved to Brooklyn and I started my life. I had two jobs. I worked at Dean and DeLuca. I worked at a restaurant at nighttime. And so I had the daytime to audition and go to open calls. And I remember my mom handed me a book of poems and there was a poem by Pablo Neruda and it's translated into English. And part of that poem said, "Traveler, there is no trail. The path is made by walking." And I really feel like that is something that I think I've always held inside, is that my path and your path are not going to look exactly the same, but they lead you to where you need to be. And I think that's a really beautiful thing, because it allows you to just continue on your path and to do the work. Don't worry about what's happening over here, what this person's doing over there. You know, oh, this person is going to this college. I didn't get to go. So that, therefore, this isn't going to happen for me, or that's not going to happen to me. No. Your path is going to be your path, and you can go anywhere you want to go. Use whatever opportunities that you are given at the time and learn as much as you can. And as you're on that path, hey, you're going to have some turns. You're going to have a lot of bumps, but it's going to be an incredible ride.
Thank you so much. Those are my questions, but I always like to end an interview by asking, is there anything that was left unsaid or anything that you'd like to add? And if the answer is no, that's totally fine, but I like to leave the door open just in case.
Yeah, I don't think so. I think that was really great.
Mandy Gonzalez, thank you so much for chatting. We will see you at the BPO.
Thank you so much, Daniel.
That was my interview with Mandy. I hope you and your family will see her at the BPO on Saturday, September 21st, 2024 at 7:30 p.m. Tickets and more information are available at bpo.org. This episode was produced by Jessica Marinelli. Sarah Potter engineered this episode. In addition to this podcast, you can check out our local event guides posted bi-monthly on buffalorising.com. Make sure you subscribe to the show. If you like the show, please recommend it to a friend. Thanks for listening to Western New York Soundstage from Buffalo Rising and Local Matters Studios.